probably what is the most well-known psalm in the book of Psalms, and that's Psalm 23. If you would open up to there, we're going to read from Psalm 23. Give you just a second. Everybody get over there. Psalm 23. Somewhere close to the middle of your Bible. All right. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." How many in here, the Lord is your shepherd? Okay. I just want to make you see, the Lord's got to be our shepherd. All right. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," now listen to this, "I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Man, David is just, when he gets in, man, he just got it locked down. Okay? David is just letting us know really quickly that the Lord is his shepherd. He's our shepherd too. Now, what does a shepherd do? Well, a shepherd's job is to watch over the sheep, right? Notice this here. He says, you know, I'm not going to want because the shepherd's going to provide for me. I'm going to have rest because he's going to make me a place to lie down. I'm going to have plenty to eat because he's going to provide green pastures for me. Do you see that, church? He says, "You're with me, Lord. You're always with me." And then he goes on and he talks about, even when the enemy's coming at me, he'll prepare a table right in the presence of my enemy. And I like this. Even though I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear evil. Can I tell you something? Fear is the biggest liar that you'll ever come into contact with. Did you hear me? All fear does is cause you to miss out on the good life. Come on, the devil loves to paint pictures, and he does it through fear. He'll make you fear the worst when there's... I mean, you know, you can get a pimple come up on you, and if you listen to the devil before you know it, you've got cancer. Come on now. That's the way he operates. He's a liar, Jesus said, and the father of lies. And so we have to understand that God is with us. There in verse 4, he says, "For thou art with me." Okay? Hebrews chapter 13, I like what it says. Verses 5 and 6 says, "Let your conversation," that word conversation there means your life or your lifestyle, "be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say," listen to this, "the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Notice this. He says, the Lord is my helper here, and I'm not going to fear what men shall do to me. Listen, if God be for me, who can be against me? It's what the Word of God says. You know, and so we have God's promises that He's with us, that He is our shepherd, that He is our helper. God is always with us. He said, "I will never leave you," or "I will never forsake you." Think about that. And He tells us over there, Matthew says, "I'll go with you all the way to the end of the age," or the end of the world. So He's always going to be with us. But you know, even with these promises that God is always with us, there'll be times that the enemy he'll try to single us out through our thought life. He'll try to make you think that you're the only one. Come on now. He'll get you on a little pity party for yourself. Come on now. He'll get you thinking that, you know, this thing or that thing. You know, he's always trying. It's not just he can do it to anybody. Let me show you here over in 1 Kings. Jump over here. 1 Kings. Now, I want you to understand that Elijah was a mighty man of God. How many can say amen to that? When you study out Elijah, we're talking about a powerful man of God. Now, here's the thing about Elijah. In chapter 18, Elijah has just whipped up on 450 prophets of Baal. Remember over there in chapter 18 where Elijah says, call those the 450 prophets of Baal, and then jump over and get those other 400 prophets over there at Carmel. Get them over here. So there were actually 850 prophets there, but only 450 of them were prophets of Baal. And he says, all right, we're going to prove who's God. I'm going to show you guys who God is. And so he says, you go ahead, and we're going to have the God that answers by fire. He's the real God. And y'all know the story how that he said, you guys go first. And the prophets of Baal went, and they made an altar to their God. And they called out to their God. They cried to their God. And they cut themselves with stone. They done all kinds of stupid stuff, calling on a false God. Elijah makes fun of them, laughs at them. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's going on vacation. He might not be around. You know, he's just making fun of them. And finally he said, okay, it's my turn now. If y'all remember, he built the altar, put the sacrifice on there, had them keep pouring water over it all to the ditch all the way around it was full, and then he prayed. And when he prayed, God answered by fire. And the Bible says he not only did he lick up the water, but he licked up the dust. God answered by fire. You talk about a powerful man of God. And then he leaves from there, and he goes out. And before he leaves there, though, he says, gather up all those 450 prophets of Baal, bring them down here. They killed them all. Got rid of all the false prophets. So he leaves from there, but he gets a message. And he gets a message from Jezebel. Because those prophets of Baal were Jezebel's prophets. She was the one that instituted the baby sacrifice to Baal and all that junk that was going on there. And she sends him a message and says, the same thing that you did to my prophets, I'm going to do you before this day's over. Think about that for a minute. You know what Elijah does? Elijah ends up hiding out in a cave. First of all, he ends up under a juniper tree saying, God, this is just too much for me. Just go ahead and kill me. Take me, Lord. I don't want to have to put up with this. I can relate sometimes to him when it comes to that, because there's times that there's your things on you. It's like, man, the pressure. God, take me home. I don't want to have to deal with this anymore. Come on now. Anybody ever else been there? Maybe I'm just the only one. I don't think so, though, because there's always that doctor's question when you go to a doctor. You ever thought about killing yourself? Well, no, I've not thought about killing myself, you know, but yeah, I wouldn't mind sometimes if the Lord would take me. You know, I got to know better than to do that. You know what I'm saying? But you know, so here he is. And then an angel comes up. God sends him an angel, feeds him three times and says, now go on the strength of that. He ends up then hiding in a cave. And God comes along. And let's just pick up, and we're going to read here in chapter 19. And I want to read it so that you can see the whole thing. Again, here it is. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that he arose and went for his life, notice he's running, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a bacon cake and coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him, said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he rose and did eat and drink and went in strength of that meat 40 days, 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came hither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What dost thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I am only left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshah, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of whatever that town is, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." Now, I want you to just kind of get a picture of what's going on. He's destroyed all those prophets. And when Jezebel sends him word, he goes on the run. Think about this. This man of God just killed 450 prophets, and he's afraid of one woman. I know you women are tough, but I think he might have been a little tougher. But you see, what happened was, he let what she said get in his head. Come on now. See, you've got to be careful, folks, that you don't let what people say get in your head. That's how the devil singles you out. Come on now. You can tell he's been thinking about some things, because two different times he says, "You know, all the people's forsaken God. They've killed all the prophets. I'm the only prophet left, and they're trying to kill me." He's meditating. He's thinking on all the wrong things. He's not thinking about what a great victory God just gave him. I mean, my goodness, fire came down out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice. He proved that God was God, and God showed himself to Elijah the same as he did everybody else. But now here he is, afraid of a woman, hid out in a cave. And here's the thing. Now, let's just look at this. He's destroyed them. Jezebel gets in his head. And because he allows her to get in his head, she gives up her ministry. I mean, he gives up his ministry. You see that? I mean, he's doing great. I mean, come on. Anybody in here called down fire from heaven? I haven't. He allowed what Jezebel said to cause him to give up his ministry. Think about that one for a minute. That's how powerful words can be if you let them get in you. You have to be careful. You can't. Jesus said, "Take heed what you hear." Listen, Jezebel was a heathen. Probably, I know the Bible says Ahab was the wickedest king that ever lived. And I'm going to tell you something. Jezebel was the reason. You talk about a wicked woman. But see, he allowed that wicked woman, what she said, to affect him more than what God was saying. You see that? You cannot allow what people say to override what God says. You have to make up your mind. Well, you're going to believe God or believe the world. I choose to believe God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Yeah, but you just don't know how bad the world can be. Oh, yeah, I do know. I absolutely know how bad the world can be. I know how they can talk. Believe me, I know how they can talk. They've been talking about me since the time we started building this church. Come on now. And they ain't never stopped. They just find a new topic. Come on, another lie that they can tell. Come on now. And here's Jezebel, you know. I mean, he's already found out that she can't kill him the next day, right? Come on now. I mean, you know, went to Juniper Tree, went on that strength of the food for 40 days, right? So the next day it already passed, so it didn't come to pass what she said. But he still got it in his head. They want to kill me. They want to kill me. You know, he had the same God we do. The Lord was his shepherd, just like he was David. He'll prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. You see, but when you let what voices that are speaking to you, when you let them have a louder voice than God in your life, you'll get over into fear and you'll do things that you normally wouldn't do. Elijah was not the type of man to run and hide in a cave. Come on, he was the kind of man that called down fire on people that come looking for him. Come on now. See, so he's that's the kind of man that this woman, by what she had said, caused to get in her head. So she caused him to give up his ministry and had him thinking he was the only one left. See, sometimes that's what the devil likes to do. He likes to single you out and think that you're the only one left. I'm the only one that stands strong. I'm the one. God said, would you just shut up? I got 7,000 more to replace you with. Amen. Come on now. You see, God's always got a plan. You might not see God's plan, but the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And sometimes you may have to go through something in order for God to get you to where you need to be in His plan. Not that God sets you up, not that God calls you to do that. But maybe God will use what you're going through, and most of the time He does, to get you to where He needs you to be. Because you wouldn't go there no other way. Come on, sometimes we get real complacent, we get real back, and thinking, well, you know, I'm the only one. You know, I mean, that's Elijah thought he was the only one. He seriously thought he was the only one. Just because they'd killed prophets, just because they'd gone away from the Lord's command. But there were still folks that were faithful. Did you hear me? Still folks that were faithful. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to do. There'll always be that remnant that stands and says, I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord, no matter what the devil tries to do. And so here he thought that he was the only one. And you know, here's the things. Sometimes we can let pride come in and think that we're the only one that can do something and get results. Right? Come on, it's a form of pride whether we want to think about it or not. You know, there are folks that think if they don't pray for you and lay hands on you, then you can't get healed or you can't get what you need. And the truth is, Jesus says these signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Didn't notice? I mean, you know, I came up when I got into this thing. Benny Hinn was still real big and some of those guys and some of those healing ministries and stuff. And there were folks that they had to get to one of those services now before they could ever receive their healing because there didn't nobody else have an anointing like they had. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't have a great anointing. They had healing ministries. But the Word is the Word. By His stripes you were healed, not by somebody's ministry. Come on now, by the word of the Lord. That's how you, and you know, and of course there's the gifts of healing that operate through different people, but here's the thing. Didn't operate just in televangelists. Come on. Operated through believers whom God chose to use when He chose to use them. Every one of us. It didn't say signs and followers, but signs and wonders will follow just pastors. Come on. These signs will follow them that'll believe. You see, and so we got to be careful that we don't get over into a little pride thinking, well, you know, I mean, it happens everywhere. It happens in singing, whatever. If the singers will get caught up, well, if I'm not the one that sings that song, then it won't be anointed. That's another lie. See, there's the ways that you can get to thinking that you're the only one. You know, there people can think, you know, well, you know, if it's not done by my group, you know, we're going to be helping this other ministry out with those things that Stephanie was talking about there, the helping hands thing. You know, and I mean, that's not something we started here, but it's a good work of the Lord. And so we're going to help out with that. You know, we don't have to be the one starts it to be able to help. You know, so you have to be careful not thinking, well, if we don't do it, it won't be done right or it won't get. No, that's a way of you singling out yourself there. Let me show you something in Scripture here. Let me just read this one to you. It's over in Mark chapter 9, verse 38 and 40. It says, and John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. You see what's going on there? They come along and they see this guy over here casting out devils. They see him working miracles. They see him doing things. And because he's not part of their group, because he's not in the inner circle or in part of that, they say, you can't do that. You need to follow. If you're going to do that, you got to be in part of our group. No, Jesus said, leave him alone. If he's doing a miracle in my name, that means he's got to be for us. He can't be against us. He couldn't be doing it in my name if he wasn't for us. You see? And so Jesus is saying, yeah, leave, you know, somebody doing something for the Lord, let them do that. They don't have to do what you're doing. That's why there's all kinds of different ministries. Every ministry's got its own thing. We have to do our thing. And other ministries have to do their thing. But it don't mean we also can't come together and help one another. Amen. Why? Because we're all in this for the same reason, for the Lord. I've always said this, and I have friends that are in different denominations. And what I can worship with anybody as long as we agree on the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes the blood of Jesus to forgive your sins, right? And that Jesus is Lord. And if I confess with my repent and confess with the Lord, that Jesus is my Lord, then I'll be saved. I can go to church with anybody. It don't matter about those other things. We got a core there that we're all going to heaven. Now, some of us might not be right. Okay? We may be interpreting things a little wrong. But if we're right in that part, that's what gets you to heaven. Right? So don't get me wrong. It's not that I agree with other doctrines. It's just I choose to agree and come together on what we can agree on instead of being divided on those things that we differ on. Amen. That's how you get along, folks. That's how the church should be getting along. You know, our country is so messed up right now. I mean, you know, you got our political parties that just because they don't like each other, they won't agree on common sense. On nothing. One won't agree with the other. And it's stupid. They're supposed to be doing what's best for our country. Instead, they're doing what's best for their party. Well, we can do the same thing in the church. Instead of doing what's best for Jesus, we can do what's best for our church. Right? And we have to be careful of that because our whole purpose is to serve Him and put Him first. If we put ourselves first, then we're messing up. Come on. I've had to make some hard decisions here lately, and I've made one, and I know not everybody's happy about it, but I'm going to tell you something. I have to do what's biblically right. I have to have a biblical reason for not doing something. I can't just do it because of preference or anything like that. You know why? Because who am I? I mean, I'm just a servant of the Lord, and so I got to do what's biblically right, and that's all I can do. I have to stand before Him. And I'm the one got to answer to Him. And so I'm going to do what He says. I realize I'm nothing. But here's what the Bible says in Galatians 6:3. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now I do know for a fact that I'm an anointed man of God. I know I hear from God. I know I'm called to be pastor of this church. And I know God speaks to me about this church. Now, see, a lot of folks think that God speaks to them about this church. And some folks He does. We've got leadership that God speaks to. That's not what I'm talking about. But here's the thing. When it comes down to it, even though I have great leadership, I am responsible for the decisions made here because I'm the pastor here. So I that's one of those things where I alone have to make that decision, but I don't make it by myself because I seek counsel. And listen, and then I pray about things and I say, God, what do you want? Because that's what ultimately, that's the only thing that matters is what God wants. And so we have to understand that. So we have to be careful, folks, and not let pride cause us to mess up. Because, you know, pride can cause eye problems. And when I say eye problems, I'm not talking about eyes. I'm talking about I. Pride can cause eye problems. You know, I would never do that. I would never say that, right? I would never act like that, right? Come on now. See, that hits us a little bit, but I'm going to hit you a little harder here just in a minute. Here's the thing. When we begin to look at others and their problems, we forget that we have problems too. Every single one of us. I have not yet to find the perfect person. And that's why you will never ever find the perfect church. Because every church is filled with imperfect people that make mistakes all the time. But it's real easy for us to look and see other people's mistakes. What they do I would never do that. But I'm going to talk about that person that does that. But I don't have any problems. I'm not a gossip. I just talk about the truth about somebody else. Come on now. Right? Let me give you a biblical example, okay? Jump over with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. It's amazing to me the way really humanity is and the way we are. You know, you would think that everybody would want to just kind of mind their own business and keep in their own lane. But it's amazing, especially with the advent of social media, how many people are judge and jury and all that other stuff, but never look at their own fault and the things that are in their life. It's like they're perfect and all this. Listen to this right here. John chapter 8. Let's read it here. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him and sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" And they said, tempting him, that they might have it to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone. And let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, when we look that, here they come. This woman knows she's guilty. She's caught in the very act. Now, I can't help but believe for them to catch her in the very act, there had to be a setup. Because they were trying to set Jesus up, so they had to have a plot here. You understand that? Let's get this to happen so we can get that to happen so we can get Jesus to go against the law, and then we'll stone him for going against the law. They were willing to kill that woman to try to get their way. You see that? This is the religious folks of the time. This is Pharisees, but they hated Jesus that much because Jesus was not going the way they wanted him to go. Okay? So here's what do they do? Well, she knows she's guilty. But then, they were so self-righteous, they didn't see that they had faults too till Jesus brought it about in them. Notice that? Here they are accusing her of her wrongdoing, that she should be stoned for. And then Jesus, maybe when we get to heaven, we can say, "Jesus, what did you..." We might not even care. But as a preacher, I'd kind of like to know what Jesus wrote down on the ground. Maybe he started writing out their sins. Maybe he just started from the youngest to the oldest writing down, "You did this, you did this, you did this." And then when he rose up, he said, "Now you that without sin, you throw the stone first." They're gone. Because they were all guilty too. Just like all of us. Come on. We have no right to throw stones. But what we can do is pray for one another. Come on, lift up one another. Because we do live in this body of flesh that causes us to mess up. We do allow the enemy sometimes to single us out and mess with our mind. And we need help sometimes. See, here's the thing. You can't ever get to thinking that you're all alone. Because we're all here together. Come on, don't ever let the devil single you out. You don't have to go through something by yourself. Everybody don't got to know about it, but you can get you two or three people you trust and say, "Listen, I'm going through something right now, and I need you to pray with me. I need you to lift. Right now I'm having a hard time praying for myself. I need somebody that can lift me up." You see, that's what being part of the body of Christ is all about. We're all members together. And notice that the Bible says, when the least one's hurting, then everything's hurting. If one of us is hurting, then everybody's hurting. And we should be holding one another up and not letting the devil single out that person. Because if he can single you out, he can devour you. He can take you down. Look what he did to the mighty man of God. Caused him to give up his ministry. I see him all the time, read things all the time, how many pastors every day are quitting and giving up. So that tells me that yes, I know what it's like to go through things, but that tells me how the enemy's at work trying to single them out and trying to pull them away, because he doesn't want shepherds watching over the sheep. He wants to get hirelings in their place that'll tell them what they want to hear and not tell them the truth of the Word of God. That'll bend to their whims or whatever it is they want. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm your pastor, but I'm first his servant. Did you hear me? I love you with all my heart, but I'm going to do what he says to do no matter what. I have to, because I am not going to hell for you. Did you hear me? You're not going to hell for me, are you? No, I'm not going to hell for my wife. I love her. She and I are one. But she's not going to hell for me. We got to stand for ourselves. And so each one of us are accountable to God for ourselves. Amen. It's the only difference with me is I've got a greater responsibility. Did you hear me? To whom much is given, much is required. You know. The Bible talks about if you don't warn the righteous man of his unrighteousness, that blood will be on your hands. You see, that weighs heavy on me when it comes to things and doing what the Word of God says. And so we have to be careful. You know, I can't let the devil single me out. I got other pastor friends that I can go to. I have a pastor that I can go to. That's why I have a spiritual father. If I need advice from him, or I need encouragement from him, man, I got one who'll give it to me. He'll lay it on me. I mean, you know, he'll give me more word than what I can handle in 5 minutes. Right? Same thing. I hope I can do the same for you. Just give you the word. So, you know, Jesus pointed out their faults and they realized they had faults too. Now, another place, and we've talked a little bit about it, but another place the enemy can get us to think that we're the only one is when we are going through a struggle. When you're going through something, it causes us to question, you know, Lord, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this struggle? Well, go over here to 1 Peter with me and let me show you something that'll encourage you. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's look at verse 12 here. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You see that? But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Peter's writing here and he says this, you're not the only one this has happened to. The devil will try to get you to think that you're the only one going through something. You're the only one this has ever happened to. And that's just a flat lie. It's just a flat lie. Now, you might be the only one you know of right now going through this, but I promise you other people have been through. And see, here's the thing. One of the things that causes you to start questioning those things is, you know, is you look at other people. Don't look at other people and make you think, well, you know, they don't ever go through anything. They don't ever have any problems. That's a lie. It's not true. Some people are just better at covering up what they're going through than others. Come on now. You know, if you're not careful, you think, well, you know, pastor and pastor, they never have any troubles. My gosh. You ain't been around this much, have you? Come on now. Sure, we have troubles. But we've learned to take it to the Lord and get rid of it. And it's something, I'll be honest with you. We sat down this morning and had a good talk. And we had to settle things with the Lord. That's right, just this morning. But you see, we've learned a few things over the years. We've learned that we've got to take things to God and just give it to God and cast all your care over in Him because He cares for you. Come on. And realize, you know, we're not the only ones been through something. You've been through something. You've been through all of us. I can look around for most of you. Most of you, I know what you've been through. At least something. And you made it through. And God helped you. So you have to be careful and not let the devil get you singled out getting thinking, you're the only one that's gone through this. Nobody in the world has gone through this before. But Peter said, don't even think it's strange, the fiery trial that you're going through right now. And notice this, though. He says, now, if you've done something and they're talking about you, they're accusing you, if you've done something, then that's just. Right? They've got it. If you've done something, you know. But he says, if you've not done anything, then they're coming against Christ in you. And God will judge them. You see, that's what I like about God. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Now, you've got to be careful here. You've got to be careful because in our flesh, we want to see them get theirs. Come on now, don't leave me out here by myself, right? Come on, when somebody does you wrong, you like to see them get it. It's just kind of the human nature in us, right? You know. And here's the thing, sometimes you see them get it, and they didn't even see that they got it. That hurts even worse. Duh, they don't even see why that happened to them. They don't understand why that happened to them. I've seen person after person that would get out from under the covering of the Lord and something happened in their life, and I don't know if they ever realized it or not, it's because they got out from under that covering. And you have to just hope that they did, and maybe they're corrected and ask God to forgive them and get back again under the covering. But you know, I've seen people's life be shipwrecked because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. I've watched people leave this church and end up seeing their lives being shipwrecked because I know they were supposed to be here, but for one reason or another, they got mad, they left, and then they got out, and then guess what? When they got out, they opened themselves up for an attack from the enemy. They got from out from another covering. Do you understand that there is a place that God wants you to be? There is a place that God, a covering that God wants you to have. There is a pastor that God wants to speak into your life. You don't get to just choose where you go. I know that's hard on some folks, but here's the thing about that. You should pray and seek where it is God wants you to be. Amen. And if you know it's a place God wants you to be, then that's where you got to be. Yeah, but now I just don't like the way you do some things, Pastor. Sorry. I'm trying my best to follow the Lord. I'll make mistakes, but they're on me, not on you. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you have to, you know, take up wings and fly just because I made a mistake. Come on. Here's the thing, church. We have to realize that, again, we're not in this by ourselves. We're all in this thing together. And when we stand together, we're an unbeatable force. Always an unbeatable force. And God wants us to stand. You're never alone. You have to stand together. You have to stand with one another, no matter what. In times of trouble and in good times, you stand and rejoice with one another. So he says, he goes on and says, you know, here's the thing. You just keep on. You just keep on, even if they're attacking you. Now, even if you're being wrongly accused. No, you still stay with the Lord and commit it to God, and God will take care of you. God has never failed to take care of us. We went through a time one time in this church back when we were just getting formed. I mean, we were down in that little building down there. I'll share it with you. We were down there, and I just went in full time and just quit my job in the strip mine, something that I'd done since I was 17 years old. Here I was, probably 31 years old now, you know. And I prayed. I sought God about going full time, and I felt like God wanted me to go full time. And so I went full time, and it wasn't just a few weeks after that, I had half the church pretty well just get up and leave. Wanted to have a meeting with me, and they said, "We don't like the way you're doing things." See, I was saying what God was saying in my heart, we're going to build a church. They didn't want a church built. They wanted to build a youth center. I looked at them, I said, "Guess what? Youth ain't got no money." See, you're looking at me funny. You have to have money to build things. You have to have money to finance and support things. This building here comes with a payment. And without people with money, you can't make a payment. Y'all know that. If you don't have a job, you can get a job if you want to, but if it don't pay you no money, you can't pay a bill. Right? So, I mean, you know, you can have the best job in the world, but if it don't pay nothing, you're in trouble. You can have a youth center full of people, but if they ain't got no money, you can't pay for it. You understand that? That's why God wanted us to build a church for us. First, He wanted us to establish a base and then build a youth center. They didn't see that, so they left. We lost Sunday school teachers. We lost some leaders. And, you know, they all said, as a matter of fact, one of them said when they left, "I don't know what God's going to do with this place." That was before we ever built the building. Before God did all this other stuff. I've had that happen to me twice. One time, and he didn't care a bit because he came back and apologized to me later. One time, Brother Jerry Gullett, going on to be with the Lord now. There was a little thing that happened in his family, and I had to make a biblical decision, and he got mad at me. He was elder in my church. And he wouldn't care because we've talked it over and stuff. And he came in there, and he talked pretty mean to me, throwed his keys down, and he left. I said, "I want you to know I love you." And he left. Was gone a long time. And then he came back, and he said, "Can I meet with you?" And I said, "Sure." He came in, he said, "Pastor," he said, "I just wanted to apologize to you for what I said." "There's nothing to apologize for. I never did take it to heart because I love you. You're welcome back here anytime." And in his last days, he finished them out here. You know? Now, see, you can hold against somebody if you want to, but that's not God's will. I could have been mean. I could have held a grudge. And maybe he wouldn't even got back in. But thank God Rosie comes and, you know, Bobby in. Baby and his wife, they're all here. I mean, Jerry brought them here. See? So you have to, we have to understand that we may go through some things, but if we'll stay with the will of God, if we'll do what God would have us to do, God will always make it right. He'll always be on our side. He'll always help us. And so, just let them talk. Let them do what they want to do. They're going to anyway. If you do good, they talk about you. If they do bad, they talk about you. You know. So you just go ahead and understand that we're all going through struggles. One way or another. But see, here's the thing. If you keep your eyes on God, you'll go through it. You won't get hung up in it. You know. "Yea, though I walk through." Right? "The shadow of the valley of death. I walk through it. I'm not going to stay in it. I'm going to walk on through it." I've watched this girl right up here on the front row. I know she don't mind. I've watched her go through some stuff that she would have took anybody else down. But she remains faithful and strong in the Lord. And I think that's going to turn everything around for her. It's already started. Because she started when she changed her mind and said, "No matter what, I will not let this get me." Some of y'all have been through some things. As long as you keep your heart on God, your mind on God, yourself set toward God, and don't let the devil single you out to think you're the only one, you shall overcome, and it shall come to pass. Come on, not come to stay, it'll come to pass. You just have to stay strong in the power of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength, but you have to stay strong in the power of the Lord and in His might. See, and realize you're not the only one. We all go through things. Now let me give you one more scripture and I'll close this thing out. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Forgive me for getting emotional, but you know, it's hard to believe we've been here 20, coming on 28 years. Man, I've seen a lot, heard a lot, been through a lot. But you know what? God still got us. He's still taking care of us. And I'm looking forward to the next group of leaders that begin to rise up and get ready to take over the realm and just go with it and say, Lord, we're going to follow you wherever you take us. I'll take you. I'm going to tell you something. God will take you into some scary places. You hear me? When you're just a little boy that's come from Mine Fork and never had anything, lived poor, you know, Pastor Ed and I lived poor. I ain't going to tell you, I'm not lying to you. You know, we had hard times. But God took us because we were willing and obedient. And He's done all this through all of us just because somebody would be willing to say, do what God said do. When you do what God says do, He'll take care of you. Always has, always will. Hebrews chapter 12 says, Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied of sinners, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. What did He just say? The writers of Hebrew just flatly said this. First of all, lay aside the weight. Lay down the things that weigh you down. Let me help you here. You can't fix one little thing by worrying. Jesus said, you can't change a hair on your head by worrying. Don't be anxious for nothing, He said. Worry will not fix anything. Matter of fact, that's where the devil gets in and starts painting pictures. He says, lay down the weight. And notice, and the sin that does so easily beset you. So that tells me there's some things that can get to us easier than other things. And He says, run the race with patience. Looking, now this is what I like, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is with you. You are never alone. And I promise you, as long as you're with Jesus, we're with you. We'll be here for you. We're all part of the family. You know, matter of fact, you go astray, we're here for you. We'll be praying for you. We're here to help you. Anytime that you see, but here's the thing, you can't help somebody that doesn't want help. You got to make up your mind you want some help. And I promise you, help is always here because He's your helper. We're all brothers and sisters in this thing. We're all one family in Christ. We are the body of Christ. Don't ever let the devil start getting you to think that you're the only one, because you're part of the body and you're a very important part of the body. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me? Let's pray. Father,